Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. You might have heard of Snow White, Belle, Ariel, and even Elsa. But have you heard of Julie d'Aubigny or Ching She? Today, we'll introduce you to some of these remarkable women through our chat with the author of a book, Rejected Princesses, which features stories of women through history who might not make the multiplex, but made a difference in their world. Rejected Princesses on today's American Cafe. If you are a fan of Disney movies, you probably know who Belle, Ariel, Elsa, and Mulan are. But if you haven't heard of Ching She, the leader of the Red Flag Pirates, or Qala bint al-Azwar, the warrior poet of early Islam, don't feel too bad. Today, we're going to meet an author and illustrator who will introduce you to these and other remarkable women. Jason Porath is a former animator at DreamWorks, where he worked on films such as Kung Fu Panda 2, The Croods, and How to Train Your Dragon 2. He is also the author of Rejected Princesses, Tales of History's Boldest Heroines, Hellions, and Heretics. Jason told me that the book sprang out of a lunchtime discussion when the movie Frozen came out.
When Frozen came out, there was this really terrible clickbait article that was going around. It was like 12 reasons the Frozen girls are bad role models. And I was making fun of it with my coworkers at lunch at the time and put forward the idea of like, okay, if they're bad role models, we can come up with way worse ones. What is the worst idea you can come up with for an animated princess movie? And a lot of what we came up with was kind of black humor, but I tossed out a couple ideas of people that I'd come across in binges on Wikipedia, like Boudicca, who's a first century English queen who rebelled against Rome and burnt London to the ground, or Jingam Bande, who is a pre-Angolan queen who kicked out the Portuguese after 40 years of fighting them from the jungles, or Hypatia of Alexandria, the first mathematician in recorded history. Just all these really interesting people in my coworkers were like, why do you know that? And I'm like, well, that's a good question, but a better question is, why don't you? Why doesn't everybody? So after I left DreamWorks, I just started doodling them and putting them online, see if anybody liked them, and it went viral really fast, and 2 years later, here's a book.
They are not the kind of princesses that you would see in your normal animated Disney flick. These are real women, first of all. Most of them, some of them are myth, and they are also capable of, you know, extraordinary deeds. What is your favorite out of the rejected princesses that you wrote about?
Probably my favorite in terms of just for fun. There's a woman named Julie d'Aubigny, who is 17th century France, who was this phenomenal rascal. She romanced men and women, was a sword slinger, an opera singer. She was a rock star of her time. Ended up burning down a convent to romance a nun, got into so many duels she had to be pardoned by the King of France twice. She was like a real-life Bugs Bunny. I just love her. She was just... she seemed like the life of the party, but you wouldn't exactly want to have her as a roommate.
One of the ones that I was kind of attracted to was Ching She, the princess of the Chinese seas, the leader of the Red Flag Pirates.
Early life, she had been a prostitute, but ended up working her way up to basically leading a army, a fleet of 70,000 people, and instituting pretty strict rules to basically treat captives and treat women well, or better at least, and if you didn't, she would just cut off your head. And she was one of the most successful pirates of all time. She extorted a retirement package out of the Chinese government, which is kind of unheard of. But yeah, she's phenomenal. She has shown up in a number of different media. She makes a cameo in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. But she's just amazing. Like, how did this actually happen? Why doesn't everybody know about this kind of story?
Also, there's Chu Jin, who you call her the heroine who wrote her own destiny. She was also quite the sword slinger as well, right?
Yeah, she was a revolutionary at the fall of the Qing Dynasty who has been heralded posthumously. She sort of set herself up as almost like an anarchist. Like, she was trying to really bring down the state, and made herself a martyr for the cause, and did a lot of really interesting. She was an intellectual. She wrote in a very kind of vernacular way that was pretty revolutionary for the time. A lot of the writing at the time was very ivory tower, and it's hard for people to understand, but she wrote it at sort of a more street level, which is, weirdly enough, kind of how I wrote the book, too. It's like I was trying to, I didn't want it to be an ivory tower thing. It's like, it's more, imagine me telling you a story at a party. But for Chu Chin, what's interesting is that her entry comes right after another woman named Yoshiko Kawashima, who, despite the Japanese name, was one of the last Qing Dynasty princesses, raised in Japan and became this she's a bisexual spy woman who's, depending on who you ask, reviled or loved. And they were almost diametrically opposed, these two. So I didn't want my portrayals of any culture or any corner of the world or to be monolithic. Whenever possible, I would try and have multiple people representing multiple facets of the culture. Ideally, people that didn't like each other, that are representing two different sides of the same tradition. And in this case, Yoshiko Kawashima and Chu Chin really were very diametrically opposed.
One of the groups that really kind of enthralled me was the Russian soldiers called the Night Witches.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about them.
So the Night Witches are one of the greatest underdog stories in human history. It was a bunch of untrained women who volunteered for the army and were given trainer planes that barely worked. They were basically made out of balsa wood, extremely flammable, and were told, okay, you're going to be doing bombing runs on the Nazis. Good luck. And they rocked it. They came up with their own military discipline, their own ways of servicing the planes. They were terrifying. They would do things like flying. The reason that they're called the Night Witches is that their planes were so noisy that they couldn't possibly sneak up on the enemies at night. So what they did is that a mile or two out, they would cut their engines and just start gliding in. Drop some bombs, and then turn on the engines and run back, get another bomb, and do it again. And the whistling sound their planes made, because they were flying so low to the ground, they had to speak in a whisper for fear that people on listening equipment would be able to hear them. They were flying so low, it sounded like to the Germans, like witches flying overhead, which is where they got the name, the Night Witches.
That's author and illustrator Jason Porath. If you want to know more about rejected princesses, check out our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. And if you want to hear other episodes of our program, go to our website, voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.